This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is the Matt McNeil Show. I am Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt today, and Brett Johnson is on the board playing the music. He's pretty good. What were you playing on that one, the keyboards?
I'm not sure what that song is that Matt has as his open. It's only listed as Matt McNeil intro, which leads me to believe maybe he performed it himself. I very much doubt that, but...
Well, we have a lot going on to talk about, both nationally and in Minnesota, including some extremely local news from out where I live, where Republicans have been in charge for a long time, and they're pulling some shenanigans over there we're going to talk about later. But there's a lot of news, both perplexing, but a lot of really good news as we're entering the time of the sixth sun. We're entering the dawn of the age of Aquarius. We're talking about UFOs in the news. Now they're called UAPs. Used to be unidentified flying objects. Now they're unidentified aerial phenomena. Not sure. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth going on about that. But for the first time, people are talking about it, and pilots are able to come out with their stories about seeing them and things like that. We're in the era of the falling of big oil, the rising of electric vehicles, the indicting of Trumps, the falling of the GOP and conservatives. So we're going to get to a bunch of that kind of stuff. Really interesting news about big oil yesterday. And it's you may have heard, I know Rachel Maddow did a very interesting segment on it last night. I was already beginning to read about it before she was talking about it because I was astonished at the news. We'll get to that a little later. Right now, I want to talk about the old adage of the frog boiling in the water. I don't know if you know about that one. If you have a pan of boiling water and you throw a frog into it, he jumps back out because he can tell it's really hot. But if you put him in the water and then the water is cool and you slowly heat it up to a boil, he'll stay in it and at some point die. And so now I want you to meditate for a moment. With that in mind, try and make everything from your day go out of your head, and maybe you're in a beautiful place. You can feel this. It's not the weather of today. It's the weather of yesterday. The sun is on your face. Close your eyes and go to early 2015. Can you remember what that was like? Early 2015. The world before Donald Trump, basically. I mean, before the world took him seriously. Do you remember what that was like? Hillary Clinton was going to be president. She indeed did win the election, as now we know. We're finding out that there was Russian collusion. All these things that we all knew was going on is starting to be proven now. But remember what it was like in 2015, what we were looking forward to. I remember talking about that women were going to be in charge and all these things were going to be coming up. And then I remember election night, which actually was my birthday in 2016, November 8th. I got all dressed up. I still was kind of hanging around with a lot of DFL people. I was going to go to the big DFL shindig at a hotel down in Minneapolis. And first I stopped by our local. I'm in Senate District 33. Over in the west suburbs of Minneapolis. And I stopped in there first. I was wearing a suit because I used to like wearing suits when I was, running for office and all that because, why not wear a suit, right? I was looking forward to the whole night. It was going to be nothing but victory. Minnesota was going to sweep everything. Nationally, we were going to take the House, we were going to take the Senate, and we were for sure going to take the White House. Who's going to vote for Trump? And I remember the very first thing that happened when I walked in to the in Minneapolis. Ken Martin was actually there with a couple other people. I don't remember right now. I remember knowing at least one of them. And I know Ken Martin fairly well. He always is very cordial to me whenever I see him. So I walked up to him just to kind of say hi and was in sort of celebratory mood. And he was looking at – he and the other two guys were looking at their phones. And I just kind of came up and said, "Hey, Ken." And he just looked at me with a blank stare like he was looking right through me. And then he just walked away. He didn't even say a word. And I thought, well, that's weird. And then Al Franken came up to – remember when Al Franken was still around? He came up on stage to speak. And he was starting to say, you know, no matter what the turnout is, whatever the results are tonight, we're going to keep moving forward. And I'm like, why is he – and then Amy Klobuchar kind of did the same thing. She was foreshadowing something bad. And I was just kind of looking around like, why are things so weird? And the numbers started coming in, and the room got – you could hear a pin drop. And then Trump won, and it was just so weird. And it was announced at something like 1:30 in the morning. So I ended up getting home at close to 3 in the morning, and my wife Heidi was sleeping, and I had to wake her up, and I said, "Trump won." And she was just like, "Shut up." And I'm like, "No, I'm serious." And she was like, "Shut up," you know. And it felt like something really creepy was happening. It felt actually like you're in a movie where maybe some villain like Russia invaded something having to do with the United States and made this really impossible thing occur. And then just coincidentally, a transformer or something blew up a couple blocks from us, and it was flashing really bright green light, but kind of for longer than that. You know, I've seen that happen before, and this went on longer than that. I swear to God, I woke up and I was looking out the window, and I was like, "What is he doing?" I mean, that night really felt like an apocalyptic kind of feeling. Do you remember that? And then the first press conference after Trump's inauguration, and what's his name? I can't remember. What was his name?
Oh, Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer.
Press guy, yes.
Sean Spicer comes up to the podium, and he says, "This was the most watched thing ever." And everybody was talking about, well, there was about 30 people there. You know, Obama had something like 2 million in 2008 and 2012, and Trump had... I don't know, I don't even know if he had 100,000 people there. And Sean Spicer was just blatantly lying. And everybody was like, "What is going on? This is definitely going to get shut down at any moment. I mean, somebody's going to step in and just shut this down." And it just never happened. And then all the talk about Russia, all the talk about Mike Flynn, all this stuff's going on. Then he fires the FBI director. Okay, now somebody's going to shut it down. I mean, it went on for the full 4 years, and it is still going on now. The United States is in a different place. Think about what happened in Belarus. We were hearing about Belarus 2 days ago, where I think it was 2 days ago. They hijacked a plane. The president... You know, he's basically the dictator. You know, they have fake elections. They call it democratic elections, and then they just have the dictator say who won. They don't even bother to count the votes. But people think they're voting. Of course, you know, people are starting to understand there was he won again, but in reality, everyone believes that his opponent won. And there was tons and tons of protesting. And then there's this 26-year-old journalist who is kind of, you know, roguely telling the truth. And he was flying in a Belarus airspace, and they sent a fighter jet up to make the plane land, and then they arrested him. And, you know, we're used to stuff like that going on in different countries, different places. But I think over this past 4 years, you can see how we're in a slow boil. And if we don't jump out of the pan, we're going to die. And I just, you know, imagine, you know, how we think of other countries that have dictators. And then imagine what if on January 6th, they would have really dragged some people out and killed them. Maybe Mike Pence. That's what they wanted to do. That's what Trump wanted them to do. And there is, you know, a very small amount of people, but still way too many people who believe that Trump is still president. And that's because Trump is telling them that I'm still president. They stole the election. It was false. I am your president still. And they believe it. That is exactly like what's going on in Belarus and other countries that are dictatorships. Our democracy is, we have found out how fragile it really, really is. And it's pretty scary. Things are turning around. I mean, kind of overwhelmingly. So, you know, I'm feeling very optimistic. I'm certainly not scared, but this is scary. What has been happening and how we're just kind of accepting it. Think about the pandemic, how different that would have been if Hillary Clinton was president. Right now they're talking about China and did it happen in a lab and blah, blah, blah. Hillary Clinton would have made our inspectors stay there. She would have went. She would have fought against China probably in November of 2019. And Trump in January, February, March of 2020, he was saying, you know, I'm friends with the president there. He's a great guy. He's doing a great job. And, you know, everybody's saying that Biden is being soft on China. Trump is just rolled over by absolutely everybody all the time. So think about how different the pandemic would have been if we had a president in the United States, like any other president we've had before Trump, who would have stood up to China in the early, early times when they were first finding out about this. China would not have even been able to cover it up as long as they did. It may have not left the country. It might have been another SARS sort of thing, which is horrible because it may have killed some Chinese people, but maybe it wouldn't have even gotten that bad. There's a chance it wouldn't have gotten as bad as it did, but any worse than any other pandemic that we've had. We had a pandemic, I think, in 2012 or 13 that Obama handled, and I think we had two Americans die, and the Republicans were saying that he blew it. So just think about how different the world would be, and remember what it was like in 2015. If you from today went back and met you in a coffee shop in 2015, and the current day you told the 2015 you the story of the last 5 years, you would kill yourself. You would reach across the table and kill the 2021 you, because you would say, there's no way that could ever happen. I don't know what you're trying to do to me. You're trying to mess me up mentally. There's no way. That's the scariest story I've ever heard. That would never happen in this country. So that being said, we'll take a short break, and I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about some really happy things. And maybe I'll even make you meditate again. We'll make you meditate and get you back into a happy place. This is Todd Mickelson on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back with the Matt McNeil Show. That's me on guitar. What are you playing on this, Brett?
Oh, man. I used to play bass way back in the day, so I got to go with that.
All right. Me and Brett. And it's not Ziggy playing guitar. It's me.
That's right.
Anyway, there was a I can't remember their name now, but there was another 80s band that did a remake of, and they were really huge, too. Peter Murphy was in the band. Why can't I remember their name? I'll remember their name when I'm not trying to remember their name.
See if I can Google it.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed that I can't remember their name because I was really super into them. They did Bela Lugosi's Dead. What's their name? Oh, I hope my wife's not listening. She's going to be so pissed at me right now at this moment. It's right on the tip of my brain. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about politics, not trying to remember the name of a band from 40 years ago. So an incredible thing happened yesterday. I want to go back to 19. Okay, let's meditate again. Close your eyes. Okay, we're already in the meditative state, I think. Remember 1992, 93, that era. Who became our new vice president? Al Gore at that time. And his main thing that he was already talking about was climate change. I think he was calling it global warming at the time. But it's all the same thing. And there was an electric car push in the 1990s, and it got basically knocked down by the oil companies. I remember my uncle knew a guy who was trying to do something with a flywheel that was going to make like an RV get, 70 miles to the gallon. People were talking about trying to save gas and stuff back in the 70s and 80s. And Al Gore was talking about, this is really damaging our earth. If we don't do something, it's going to become uninhabitable. And I remember thinking, what if we incentivized the oil companies so that they could still keep their power? Because it was the oil companies that were knocking all this down. And it's been the oil companies that have been funding the whole idea about climate denial. And it's always them who buries the inventor who's trying to make the flywheel. They'll either give him $1 million or put a bullet in his head. And that's true. And so I was thinking when Al Gore was talking about this a lot way back then, I was thinking, why didn't we already subsidize the oil companies? Why don't we threaten to take that subsidy away unless they start to work on an alternative energy like solar power? Also, that same uncle of mine, he was a freaky guy. He was always doing something really weird. I remember when my aunt first met him in 1970, around 72 and 73, he was selling solar panels. They were really big, and there were rocks in them and stuff. They weren't like the solar panels of today, but they were solar panels. They were like 10 feet tall and 15 feet wide, and you'd put them outside your house, and they would heat up the rocks and stuff and then they had something to convert it into electricity and heat your house and things like that. I thought, what if oil companies started to do, studies on how to switch to maybe solar energy, and the United States government would say, okay, ExxonMobil, if you don't start working on solar panels, we're going to cut your subsidies. And I think oil companies would have started to work on that because they have seen this coming for decades. We've heard studies over the last few years of these oil companies doing their own studies decades ago, finding out about global warming and climate change, and then putting a lot of effort into covering that up. So we know that they were the first ones to see it coming because they put studies into it before anyone was really even talking about it, because they knew, there's going to come a day where we need to transition. And they've been fighting and fighting and fighting against that day for decades. And of course, the United States government did not take me up on my idea back in 1992. I think I forgot to actually tell them my idea, but I'm not sure they would have listened anyway. I could have saved the world, right? If people would just listen to me. But anyway, yesterday, an absolutely incredible. I can't even think of how to present it because it's so mind-blowingly incredible, and it's more proof that all these big oil companies have been thinking about this and have already began to transition, because they are now setting goals for themselves that are astonishing. So you know they've been putting thought into this for a very long time. The first thing that happened was a Dutch court ordered Shell Oil to cut emissions by 45% by 2030. That's nearly 50. That's nearly half. They need to cut their emissions by half. And then the moment that happened, Chevron, their own stockholders said, "Okay, we need to cut emissions." You know, and I think they set a very similar goal of something like 45% by 2030. And then immediately after that, so this actually happened within maybe an hour and a half or so yesterday. After then Shell has to cut their emissions, Chevron decides, okay, well, we're going to cut our emissions. And then Exxon shareholders do the same thing. Exxon Mobil, huge, huge oil company. Their shareholders buck the company and elect directors demanding climate action. This is, I can't tell you how huge this is. Now, this is also after a week of electric cars. Ford, you might have seen clips of Joe Biden driving a Ford pickup. It was really something to see because I've never seen a sitting American president drive a car. I know Kennedy sometimes drove a car, but the Secret Service got really mad at him when he did. So, you know, presidents aren't supposed to drive cars. But
and remember, the right wingers were saying it was faked and everything, and it wasn't actually real. It wasn't a real car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. That was a big thing floating around in the right wing world, that it was some sort of model or mock.
Well, it kind of was. It's their, but it's they're working on the car.
Yeah,
that's why it had those weird stickers on it and stuff. They do that so that nobody can take photos and see what they throw you off, so that it changes what the body looks like.
Oh, gotcha.
That's why it had those weird lines on it. That's when they're working on a new car and they want to test drive it, and they take it out onto like the racing track or the field. They put weird stickers on them and stuff so that people can't steal it, or you know, that's why it looked so weird. But of course, it would take the right wing world to then go, "What's up with that? It's like 3D." But anyway, it was real, and I got a Tesla in December. And if you've never ridden in an electric car, or I had a friend that he gave me the fever about a year before that. He had a Tesla, took me for a ride. We needed to do a shuffling of cars. We needed to get another car. And I thought, instead of, you know, getting a used car that could be a lemon and still paying like, you know, $10,000 or something dollars, why don't we pass our old Volvo wagon to our daughter, and I'm going to get a Tesla. So I got a Tesla. There, one thing about a Tesla that I should announce is when I went for the ride in my buddy's Tesla, I was like, wow, he must be doing great. He's got a $100,000 car. They're not $100,000 anymore. You can get the Tesla I have. I paid a little more for the red color, but if you just get a black Tesla and don't change the wheels or anything, you know, don't pay for any extras, they're about $38,000. And I would challenge you to find very many. You know, I mean, you can't get a Jeep Cherokee for less than $38,000. So they're pretty competitive priced already, and I think they're going to keep coming down. But anyway, Joe Biden's riding in this, and he comes driving around, and there's a few press people there, and he's got his sunglasses on, and he says, "Boy, this sucker is quick," I think he says. And then somebody says, "Mr. President, can we ask you about what's going on in Israel?" And he just goes, "No, you can't." And then he just hits the gas pedal, and the car basically disappears. Maybe this is why the right wing was so freaked out too. That really happens when you drive an electric car. I ask people if they want to go for a ride in my Tesla, and I go from a stop to pumping it, and everybody freaks out because it's freaky. It feels like you're on a space ride at Disney World. They seriously get to 0 to 60, I think, in 4.2 seconds, maybe 4.7 seconds. Less than 5 seconds, you're at 60. And there's no transmission. There's no transmission fluid. There's no oil. There's, you know, it's really an incredible thing. And so I'm much more in that zone because now I'm in the electric car world, And I'm just seeing more and more electric cars. I'm running into people who've got Teslas, and we're like, hey, how do you like your Tesla and stuff? And everybody loves it. And so Ford, their F-Series pickup is the top-selling vehicle in the country, if not the world. Ford makes $40 billion on just that model, and they are releasing an electric version of their big, fat Ford pickup. And they've got 70,000 reservations for that car already. They just announced it, I think, the beginning of this week. And then by the end of this week, ExxonMobil says, okay, we're stopping now. So this is an incredible change going on in the world. So hopefully that'll make you feel better than my frog boiling in the pan stories did. It's time to take another break. We'll come back because we have a lot more mostly happy news coming up, and also some perplexing news that's almost funny about the Republicans here in Minnesota and elsewhere. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, in for Matt McNeil. We'll be back right after this. Oh, baby, please stop messing around. You're messing around with my heart. Baby, please stop messing around. You're messing around. I actually played drums on this one. Is that you on the bass again?
I think so.
Yeah.
We have a lot of talents here.
Yep. Canadian music. Yeah. April Wine. Almost all their albums, at least, well, I had them from like the 70s and early 80s, and you don't skip songs on April Wine albums. So, Brett, pretty mad at you about the weather report. What are you doing? Why?
49.
Why?
That is depressing, isn't it? For late May.
Why? Anyway, we got to have somebody else do the weather tomorrow.
I agree.
Okay. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we can take your call at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205 if you'd like to be a part of the show and have anything to say about anything I'm saying. Talking about the big oil falling down, Exxon also, more details about it. They're filling their boards. So Exxon, they had strenuous objections, but two directors calling for climate action have been elected to the company's board. So they're actually, they're not being taken down from the inside, but they kind of are. I mean, they're going to try and transition to something else. I mean, they're not going to go out of business, but they're going to cut way down and eventually stop drilling. They're actually going to be leaving some fossil fuels in the ground. You know, we all thought they were going to not stop until they got it all. But I mean, this is really, really serious stuff. A longtime environmentalist, his name is Bill McKibben. He said, thanks to all who fight, you push long enough and dominoes tumble. So a very long in the making, and very good event yesterday. Another really interesting event going on locally here in Minnesota. You know about the Republicans talking candidates for a kind of a fake pro-marijuana party. And they talked them into running as a third party because they know that's going to take votes away from Democrats. And they did that in a few districts. One guy, Sammy McCarty, he was approached by Paul Gazelka. Paul Gazelka is the majority leader of the Senate, the Republican majority leader of the Senate. And apparently he personally approached this guy, Sammy McCarty, to run as a marijuana party. I can't remember the exact name of the marijuana party, but a pro-marijuana party candidate. And it, of course, that's just knowing. Sammy McCarty turned it down because he knew it was a scam. Sammy McCarty, interestingly enough, is now – he's a progressive Republican. That's actually like Lincoln. Lincoln was called a liberal by his enemies, well, by everybody. because he was a liberal. He was considered liberal back then. So Sammy McCarthy's trying to go back to the true meaning of being a Lincoln Republican by being, he's calling himself a progressive Republican, and he's running for governor. The good news is he said a TV station here in the Twin Cities has approached him and interviewed him, and they're going to air that sometime, possibly today. He said it's going to be airing soon. So that's really good news if we can start to shed a light on some of that. We do have one call coming in, Laura from Eagan. She's going to talk about the boiling frog. What do you have to say about that, Laura?
Well, you're doing a great job, and I don't mean to correct you, but I was corrected on this one. The myth about the boiling frog is wrong. And I went to the source Wikipedia to check it. So, I mean, it works definitely as a metaphor. I mean, often we're drowning in things, and we don't even aware of it, and we don't get out. But if a frog is put in a pot, he will jump off if it gets too hot. Just the frog is safe.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know that it was real. I kind of figured it wasn't because I don't think frogs are that dumb. But, I just kind of thought it was a metaphor. It's just an old adage that it works well, right? I mean, you know, it works well.
It works great as a metaphor, but I actually thought it was true.
Okay.
What people say is that, you know, the frog's in the pot. Oh, the poor frog.
Yeah.
I mean, even as a metaphor, it's kind of true, right?
Well,
check Wikipedia. The frog will escape the pot.
Good. I think we're all glad to hear that. Thank you so much for enlightening us.
Have a great day. You're doing a great job.
That makes me feel a lot better. Thanks, Laura. My last break was a little late, and I think we're about time for the final break of the hour. So why don't we do that, and we'll come back. I don't even know. There's so much I have written down to talk about. I don't even know where we're going to go next. So you're going to have to stay tuned to find out. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson in for Matt McNeil today, and we'll be back right after this. I did both drums and guitar in this track. You must have been the electric piano on this one.
Yeah, I'm a man of many talents. I have a little background in that, too. So what?
Yeah. I think it's you singing, too.
I don't know if I can go quite that high.
I'll stop that joke next. And for the rest of the breaks, I won't do that anymore, okay? It's probably not funny.
I got to find some music that maybe has some different instruments that we can continue to add.
Okay.
We might get a little eclectic in the second hour then.
Yeah, some synthesizer stuff maybe.
Yeah.
Washboard, I don't know. You can go backwards too, you know, like skiffle, play some skiffle. A funny thing happened. It's kind of sad for some people, but it's also kind of funny because it's a burn on Trump appointed people working in the government and kind of on Trump himself as well. In August, Trump issued an executive order allowing employers to put off paying their workers' share of the 12.4% Social Security tax for the rest of the year. Most companies declined to do that because they realized that, well, that's cutting Social Security for people who need Social Security. Trump doesn't care. He doesn't care who gets hurt by anything. But of course, the reason they're trying to do it, it was to try and boost consumer spending by putting more money in the pockets of millions of people. Well, who usually tries to do that? Whose argument is that usually? The Republicans, when they need it, will use progressive ideas. When they're really painted into a corner, hey, what if we put more money in people's pockets? They'll spend more. And, you know, I'm talking about regular people, not rich people. If we get just regular people, you know, the peons, if we give them some more money, they'll probably go, you know, they'll spend it. They'll go to a restaurant. They'll go buy a new shirt and shoes, and the economy will pick up. Huh. What a novel idea. So Trump tried to do that by stealing from Social Security. And a lot of the people who benefited, of course, are just normal people who worked in the American government but had to quit their jobs because they were still appointed by Trump. They're not like cabinet members. They're just they're just regular people making, you know, maybe $50,000 a year, and they work in government, but they, since they were appointed by Trump, they had to quit when he lost, and now they're all being asked to pay it back. Trump, of course, told him, don't worry, it'll all get paid for. And of course, he was lying, because every time he opened his mouth, that's what he does. So it's not being paid for. And now all of the workers who got that little 12.4% of their paycheck cut from August till December, it comes to about $1,200, about $1,300 bucks, you know, the same amount as the checks from the stimulus package that Biden passed, that the Republicans were saying, you know, oh, you shouldn't be giving everyone $1,300. That's just keeping them not working and stuff. But of course, Trump did that because he realized that, or some, I don't think he realizes anything, but somebody was telling him, hey, if we put more people in, you know, more money in people's pockets, they'll spend the money, it'll help the economy. Now all these poor saps are having to pay back their $1,200, you know, and I feel bad because there are people who, they can't afford to do this. You know, I remember in my life when it would have been devastating if I all of a sudden had 30 days to pay back $1,300. There's no way I could have done it. So a lot of these people are having to do that, burned by their God, Trump. What a surprise. And it just goes to show you that the Republicans, they realize that what they're doing is not in the best interest of people. They know that the vast majority of Americans, like say 90% of Americans say that they want background checks on guns. Amy Klobuchar, I saw her say that she was in a meeting with Donald Trump. He was there, and it was right after the Parkland shooting. And Donald Trump said, she said, I wrote it down. He said 9 times in that meeting that he's in favor of background checks. And then the following day, he met with the NRA, and then he announced he's against background checks because he's gets rolled over by everybody. Any meeting that he has ever been in, if I had a meeting with Trump, I could talk him into anything I wanted to because he's such a sap. But no, he's the new god of the Republican Party. But other instances, well, for that, that's a pretty big, for instance, why are the Republicans still fighting against any kind of gun violence legislation, even though they know? And I think with the background checks, it's 90% of Americans. I think it's something like 75% of Republicans. And they know this, and they're still fighting against it. And the NRA is bankrupt and probably going to be completely going away. So they're not going to be getting contributions from the NRA anymore. So what are they doing? You know, of course, we know that it's actually the gun companies, the gun manufacturers that the NRA is working for. So maybe now the gun manufacturers are giving them direct contributions. I don't know. But, you know, they're being blackmailed by somebody constantly. Here in Minnesota, the Minnesota GOP wanted to pass voter ID. In 2012, I don't know, 2012's not that long ago. You know, if you're 20 years old or more, 2012 is not that long ago. And that's the year that Minnesotans overwhelmingly voted against voter ID. The Republicans tried to put it on the state constitution as an amendment. Therefore, it's voted on by Minnesotans in that election cycle. And in the fall of 2012, Minnesotans voted overwhelmingly against voter ID. And the Minnesota Republicans are now trying to pass it again. And you can't tell me they don't remember. I know that Republicans, especially elected Republicans, are getting dumber and dumber as time goes on, but they're not that dumb. And in some things, they're kind of smart. They're very conniving. You know, I'm sure if you're a Republican and you're hearing this, you're probably getting pretty mad at me, but more likely, if you're a Republican and you're hearing this, you've already disavowed your membership to the Republican Party, because you're probably a somewhat sensible person. There's been an awful lot of Republicans who've been disavowing their membership, even huge, famous. We're actually going to talk a little bit about that in another story that's pretty unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable to you and I, but, you know, it's still astonishing and kind of humorous. If it weren't true, certainly it would be. I mean, basically, if you wrote a comedy movie, let's meditate again and go back to 2015. And let's say you were able to write a script that was exactly not changing any part of reality, the story of the Republican Party starting in 2015 up until today. All the studios would say, this is too unrealistic. Yeah, it's hilarious, but it's way too unrealistic. We don't want to make your movie, because nobody would believe that that could ever happen. But it is hilarious, you know. other things, Scott Jensen, who is the only current Minnesota Republican who has announced to run for governor, joined a lawsuit to try and block kids from getting vaccinated. That's a popular idea. I mean, you know, they're kowtowing to a very, very small minority. Now, this is Scott Jensen, who also was, you know, putting forth other conspiracy theories about the pandemic. I think he was even kind of hinting that he thought that the pandemic wasn't real. I know he was against mask wearing, and he said that's not good for you and all this kind of stuff. He's the only guy from the Republican Party who's currently running for governor. He has these new T-shirts that are so clever. Oh, my God. Republicans are so clever and funny when they want to be. He's got a T-shirt that has the name Dr. Fauci, and it's crossed out and replaced with Dr. Scott Jensen, because he's a doctor. More proof that doctors can be as dumb as a box of rocks. Thank you, Dr. Senator Scott Jensen, or I think he was a congressman. Anyway, whatever he was. Okay, well, you know what? Why don't we go get some, listen to some of our sponsors, and we'll hear some news updates, and we'll be back in a little bit. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt McNeil today. Brett Johnson's on the board. I'm not going to do the what are you playing, what am I playing thing. I think that joke's over. if you would like to be a part of the show, again, we can take your call at 952-946-6205. I was corrected by Laura from Egan last hour on my thing about frogs boiling. If you missed it, I was talking about the adage of the frog jumping out of the pan if the water's already hot, but he'll stay in it if the water's cool, slowly turning hot. She very happily told us that's actually not true. The frog will jump out before it dies. We don't want dead frogs on our conscience. So again, if you're like Laura and you find something that you need to correct that I may have said, 952-946-6205. Brett, do you get emails from the Republican Party?
Not the Republicans, yeah. No.
Yeah, I, you know, kind of the, you know, you gotta, what, something about your friends and keep your enemies closer. That's why I actually do get emails from the Republican Party, and now it's humorous. It's kind of like what I said last time. If it wasn't real, it would be funny. Trump is just constantly trying to get money out of you, just with a different excuse every day. But I get emails from Josh Hawley, and he's trying to sell me his book, The Tyranny of Big Tech. One time I actually replied and said, maybe I'll buy it because I could use some kindling for my fireplace. And he didn't get back to me. You know, I think if people listen to me, you know, the world could be a better place. Josh Hawley's not listening to me. He's selling his book called The Tyranny of Big Tech. He's selling it on Amazon. He's selling it using big tech to sell his tyranny of big tech.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
And he sends emails. Of course, that's kind of big tech. He sends emails. I swear I get now for what he maybe put it out a month ago, at least three times a week. I'm not counting. I'm not keeping that close. I just immediately put them in the garbage. But it's interesting to see what they're up to. It's just nothing but a grift at this point. So Josh Hawley, you don't see him on TV anymore. You don't really hear his name much, but he's selling this book. So now he's climbed under a rock, and he put out this book. And, you know, if you put out a book, you're going to sell a fair amount of the book. Anyone who can get a book published, no matter how stupid the book is, they're going to make a lot of money on it. You know, they're not going to make zillions, but you could make $1 million on just putting out a crappy book, because there's, you know, there's 7 billion people in the world. There's the chance of selling 1 million books is pretty high. So that's what he's doing. Complete grift. Jim Jordan, he's releasing a book. It's called Do What You Said You Would Do. I have no idea what that's all about. But really, who wants to read a book written by Jim Jordan? But you know what? He's going to make some money off it. It's just a grift. They're not even yelling into microphones anymore because they know they're doomed. They know that all of America is against them. They're only talking to these, you know, 12 or 13 people who are still pulling for them. It's just a grift. And then, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's still yelling into microphones. She's the dumbest of the dumb. So she's still yelling into microphones and this whole, you know, talking about masks are like the Holocaust. I think the best job, I think we should all learn from the Holocaust Museum. They had a reaction to that. And I think their reaction to this is not just in response because they're the Holocaust Museum and this is on the subject of the Holocaust. I think this is the response that should be said one time whenever Marjorie Taylor Greene opens her flap hole. They said, this is all they said. This is the quote, a sad symptom of moral and intellectual decline. That can be said about all of the Republicans who are saying all this crazy stuff. It's basically you all the way up to Mitch McConnell, who's fighting for you. You have Mrs. Siklik, the mother of the policeman who died in the insurrection on January 6th. She's going around having meetings with Republicans, including Mitch McConnell. I don't know if she actually got a meeting with Mitch McConnell, but you know his reaction to her is still, you know, oh, well, I just don't think we're going to get any more. And he's going to block the vote on it. And, you know, so they all know. They all know we can see them doing this stuff. You know, people say they're still scared of Trump. I don't know. Maybe they are. One guy, Tyler something, he used to work for he used to work in the Trump administration, and now he's trying to start, you know, conservatives against Trump kind of thing. And he said that Republicans are telling him that they're scared for their own lives and the lives of their families. That's why they won't go against Trump. What does that mean? I mean, we all know Trump's a basically an amateur mobster, but I mean, what does that mean? So Republicans are. They know that they're in this spot. I don't think they can see a way out of it, except unless they can overturn the government and basically do a coup d'etat. I think that's the only way out for them at this point. So, so we need to keep an eye on them because, like I said at the beginning, our democracy is fragile. We do need to constantly be diligent. I believe that Joe Biden is being diligent, and I think Kamala Harris is smart and diligent, and I think we're in good hands. But whenever the Republicans open their mouth and say their stupid thing, I think our only reaction should be a sad symptom of moral and intellectual decline, and just watch them get frustrated over that. So talking about Joe Biden, a lot of the reason that they the Republicans are so flummoxed is because they don't know how to fight against Joe Biden. With Obama, they you know, said he was an elitist. And, of course, a lot of the dog whistling innuendos and even loud horn blowing sometimes about racism because he was our first black president. But Joe Biden, they just don't know what to do. They don't know how to fight against Joe Biden. You've seen them fail on many different, you know, oh, he can't even get through a sentence. Okay, well, no, he proved that's not true. Oh, he won't even leave his basement. Okay, he's the first president who is ever been allowed to drive a car. I mean, so he's knocked down all of their little trial balloons. And here's some other news. I don't know if you're familiar with Palmer Report, but I'm going to kind of synopsize some of what he's talking about. I found this interesting because a lot of people don't realize this is going on, but Joe Biden, he's looking at every possible eventuality and he's trying to plan accordingly. So he's trying to pick things that, you know, okay, what might happen? And then what could we do to help that? He sees that we're usually not ready when disasters strike. So he asked Congress to pass funding to help prepare for disasters. He wants to fund this endeavor with $1 billion, which is nothing compared to what we pay every year on disasters, especially since climate change has escalated those costs for years now. In addition to covering damage created by disasters, President Biden's fund also launches a new effort through which NASA will collect climate data and try and make us even more prepared. He's calling this new initiative Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities. And this program would help communities prepare for hurricanes, wildfires, and other natural disasters. Additional funds will be directed so disadvantaged areas, it'll help those who are not as able to help themselves. This is yet another plan that Biden seeks to make life fairer and more equitable. So, you know, a couple different balls in the air here, just even on this one initiative. Biden's national climate advisor, her name is Gina McCarthy. She believes that this initiative will also help people to understand that climate change is real and that we must deal with it. Now, of course, we have oil companies admitting that climate change is real. Anyway, unlike Trump, Trump pressured the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That's the overall guys who know what's going on with the weather. They're usually known as NOAA. I have their app on my phone, and whenever I hear it's going to be stormy or rainy, I immediately go to NOAA because I can see exactly where the rain's going to happen. So, but Trump tried to constantly pressure them to contradict their own experts. If you remember Sharpie Gate, where he tried to redraw where the storm went with his Sharpie. I mean, that actually, I'm thinking back on that. It's so absurd. I can't believe it. Can't believe it happened. Again, if you wrote that in a script, the producers would say, that would never happen. Take that out. God. Anyway, Biden follows science. And he doesn't want to hide anything from the American people. Anyway, so far, President Biden's initiatives have been extremely popular. And this is another thing that's driving the Republicans crazy. They know that the jig is up on them. They know Americans can see what they're doing. And, you know, we don't like it. Back in February, Business Insider reported that 76% of Americans supported Biden's stimulus package. In April, polling showed that not only do 56% of Americans support President Biden's infrastructure plan, but 65% support taxing the wealthy for it. So what I think we even just heard some national headlines talking about, the Republicans not wanting to raise the tax on large corporations. When you poll Americans, they want taxes to go up on the wealthy. We, as Americans, know that they don't pay their fair share. I got so sick of Bernie Sanders saying that, but he's right. You know, I just basically got sick of Bernie Sanders' voice. But everything he said is right. I agree with everything he says. But he just wasn't the, you know, the right personality. But an overwhelming majority of Americans want the wealthy to pay their fair share. It goes on. I think we should take a break here, but there's so much good news about the popularity of what is going on in the Biden administration. And at the beginning of the hour, if you were listening to the national headlines, Joe Biden went down a list of all the things that's going on. Hunger is cut in half in the country, you know. Just tons of good things for the country. So, again, I don't know what we're going to talk about when we come back. Maybe we'll talk about the impending doom of the Trump family. I don't know. We got so much to talk about possibly that I'm just going to have to pick something out while we're on the break. And again, if you want to call in, 952-946-6205. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for the Matt McNeil Show, and we'll be right back. The Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt McNeil on the Matt McNeil Show today. Brett on the board, playing the music. A little bit more polling from that last story. Some polling also revealed 63% of Americans, and this is from a bunch of different polls. I'm not even going to name what they all are, but it's people are, you know, doing polling. What are you going to do? This certain poll revealed that 63% of Americans want corporate taxes raised, and 55% want Republicans to work with President Biden and the Democrats. So, meanwhile, Trump's ratings are at like 30%. So, But let's take a call before we go to the next thing. I see the subject that Matt from South Minneapolis would like to talk about is QAnon. Matt, you're not going to accuse me of eating babies, are you?
Oh, no. I had to get rid of some friends on social media because of this crazy thing, you know?
Yeah.
And basically, I think that Trump is so egotistical and such a narcissist that he was the one who invented it. I'm serious. It started with the Super Bowl with what, Celine Dion and J-Lo, where they let the kids out of the cages, and then all of a sudden they're posting pictures of both of them. And now the problem is, oh, by the way, I want to tell you, Matt's really hard to sub for, and you're doing an excellent job.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, and you're just as funny as Matt, but in kind of a Pat Paulson way, you know, kind of low-key. Anyway,
remember Pat Paulson. Brett, do you know Pat Paulson?
I actually don't, no.
Yeah, that's from a long time ago.
He was a political comedian.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
You know?
He always ran for president. Fake, you know.
He had a lot of great Nixon jokes.
Yeah, it was that era.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm aging myself. I'm sorry. But what I'm getting at is that a lot of celebrities, you know, actors, actresses, sports figures, musicians, with the exception of Ted Nugent and Kid Rock, you know, I mean, they're all pretty well like anti-Trump.
Yeah.
And so the way that Trump could probably get back at them is by starting this cult. So I want to hear your opinion on this.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thought. And I think I may have heard somebody suggest something similar one time. My only thought is that if he did it, I don't think he could keep his mouth shut. I think he would want to you know, reveal himself as being a, I am the mighty Q that you've been hearing about. I don't think he could shut up about it, you know. So right. he would not be able to keep it the mystery that it is. So that's, I don't know, that's what I think. I don't disagree with you though. You're right. He is that narcissistic and egotistical and mentally ill and many different things.
Okay, well, so, yeah, keep on going. And do you have a show on 950?
I don't. I've been sitting in for Matt here and there, but I don't currently have my own show. But, yeah, well, I don't know. Bend Brett's ear after you get off here and tell him, you know, Todd should have a show.
yeah, no doubt. Or, you know, if you get a podcast or whatever, yeah, I'll follow you, man.
Okay, great. Okay. Great. Thanks a lot for your call, Matt. That was fun. And I'm glad he wasn't an actual QAnon person. I was just slightly nervous to take that call.
Yeah, that would have gone in an entirely different direction.
Yeah. And that, you know, actually, it probably would have been great fun. It probably would have taken up the rest of the hour. I don't know if I have a story that I should start right now before we go into a break. When we come back, I think that we should talk a little bit about like what I was saying, a sad symptom of moral and intellectual decline. There is an actual history that can be followed on the Republican Party into why they are where they are now. And there's a short history and a long history. We'll kind of try and tackle some of that when we come back at AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Tempted to say that was you and me who did those claps, those little claps.
You can take credit for the claps, but yeah, I don't know. I think we can pass ourselves off.
I was going to say I wrote this song, but nobody would believe me.
Unless you're, what was that movie that was a couple of years ago where the guy existed in a universe where the Beatles were never a thing?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember what it's called either. That would be kind of like going back in time and making bets on stuff, you know, because then you could write the Beatles songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah. Lucky guy. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt McNeil. Brett Johnson on the board. So this whole, people are talking about, you know, will Trump be indicted? And things take time. So everybody, you know, a lot of people are afraid, oh, he's going to get away with it all. And he's not going to get away with it all. This stuff that they're talking about is serious. And you can tell how serious it is because they're talking about it finally. This Cy Vance investigation in New York has been going on for more than 18 months. And now he just put together a grand jury. They're going to be sitting for 3 days a week for 6 months. That's a lot, because what a grand jury is just people like you and me being asked to go sit there and do the things that they want us to do. It's like a really long regular jury sentence, kind of. So 3 days a week for 6 months, which basically means, of course, the media didn't start talking about it. They didn't start saying, you know, Trump may be indicted. They didn't really start saying that until sometime last week or maybe the week before that. And you can also tell probably the smartest Trump, still not, you know, on the scale of smart, but the smartest of the little group of Don Jr., Eric, and Donald is Ivanka, and she's gone completely silent pretty much since the insurrection, I think. So she knows better. And of course, her diabolical evil husband has also gone completely silent. And I haven't heard much from Don Jr. or Eric. You know, of course, Donald Trump can't. He just keeps doing his thing. But the fact that the media is talking about it really, I believe, is really a sign that, yeah, it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. And then so now people are saying, what a world we live in. the ex-president, this is the first ex-president who's ever been under investigation and maybe going to be indicted and possibly go to prison. Well, that's only because Richard Nixon was pardoned by President Ford. Otherwise, he would have gone to prison, quite definitely, for multiple things. And I don't know how they actually got Ronald Reagan out of the Iran-Contra thing, but a lot of people went to prison for that. And basically, the whole conservative and Republican movement, they turned in the 50s. If you think about Dwight Eisenhower as president, he was basically as progressive as you could possibly get. The tax rating for the wealthy, for millionaires, was 90%. Now, I remind you that it doesn't work in the fashion that every single penny that millionaire makes is taxed at 90%. It gets cut off at a certain point. So in Minnesota, the fourth tier tax, the line is about $153,000. So if you make $154,000, you only pay the higher rate on $1,000. You pay the same amount as everyone else does on everything below $153,000. But I can get too technical sometimes, and I don't want to throw too many numbers out there. But anyway,
as a former accountant, though, I'm glad you bring that up, because people often get confused when they think 35% tax rate. They have to pay 35% of their income. No, they don't.
Right. Exactly. It is an important thing to remember, especially when you're arguing about trying to do things with taxes. So what Joe Biden's talking about right now about raising, he's not going to raise any money, any taxes on anyone who makes less than $400,000. If you make $500,000, your taxes will only be raised on $100,000. Anyway, enough accountant talk. What's his name again? Eisenhower, President Eisenhower. He actually angered the conservatives so much, and that's what kind of started. It was actually called the Movement Conservative, and their first presidential candidate was Barry Goldwater, who absolutely got his ass handed to him in 1964. And so they were off to a bad start, because the progressive policies had been going on since it saved us from the Depression, and it was still going on all the way through the 50s into the Kennedy administration and then into the Johnson administration. So people didn't want to go back to the conservative way. And the conservatives found that out in 1964. So by 1968, they knew they had to do something different. And of course, they come up with Richard Nixon, who got in the race kind of after Robert Kennedy got his assassination. Robert Kennedy, he was for sure going to be president in 1968, but I guess that's part of the reason that they killed him. And so then Nixon gets in, and Nixon doesn't think he can win unless he commits treason. And proof of that came out in some declassified tapes in 2000, I believe, 13, where Johnson is talking to some senators and all kinds of different people. And he's talking about this incident that happened where Nixon, the Johnson administration in 1968, had talks scheduled with the South Vietnamese government. And the South Vietnamese government wanted to get out of the war. And the Johnson administration was going to have talks and make a deal with them. And what Nixon did was he sent this woman, her name is Anna Chenault. You may be familiar with that. But she convinced the ambassador that the South Vietnamese government should, the ambassador of South Vietnam, convinced him that they should pull out of the talks and wait for Nixon to be elected, because that'll be a much better deal. The Vietnamese people will have a much better deal under Nixon. So just cancel these talks. And in fact, they did. They pulled out of the talks. And Johnson, he didn't want anyone to know that the FBI was bugging the ambassador's phone. So the FBI, they heard this conversation, and they're like, "Oh my God, the Republican presidential candidate is committing treason, and we have it on tape." Johnson didn't want to release that tape because he thought it was just kind of too big of news because, you know, it's talking about treason. We just had a kind of a coup d'etat happen in 1963. So, you know, and like we said, our democracy is fragile. It always has been. A lot of weird stuff has gone on through the ages of this country that just isn't talked about a whole lot. People forget about stuff pretty easy. And this news didn't even make it out until decades later. But Johnson also thought that Hubert Humphrey was a shoo-in to win. And so Nixon basically, privately Johnson said, he said Nixon was guilty of treason and he had blood on his hands. And then, of course, we all know about Watergate. Because that actually made it into the news. And I believe 40 people from the Nixon, I'm really truncating this because it's a really interesting story and tons of stuff went on. The Watergate was actually probably the least interesting thing that Nixon did to make sure that he won re-election in 1972. He blackmailed people. He did all kinds of horrible things. But I believe in the end, it was 40 government officials indicted or jailed from the Nixon administration. And then Gerald Ford, his vice president, becomes president because Richard Nixon resigned. And then Ford pardoned him. But Nixon would have went to prison if he hadn't been pardoned. So Ford loses in 1976 because America's kind of angry at him for pardoning Nixon. And the hostage situation occurs in 1979. And it was just really a difficult thing to deal with. And again, Carter, he tried to free them. He flew some helicopters over there. He was going to do a nighttime rescue, but there was a sandstorm. One of the helicopters couldn't even fly, and there was a crash in the air. It was a huge disaster. Wasn't really anyone's fault. It was because of this sandstorm, but Carter took the hit for that. And after that, then he was ready to make a deal to get the hostages back. He basically did make a deal, but then that summer, the Reagan was the Republican guy, and you know he had people under him, including George H.W. Bush. They go to a meeting. The president of Iran was I can't remember exactly who is who, but there was a meeting, and the Republicans basically interrupted it. And in that meeting was a Republican lawyer, and then also Reagan's campaign chairman, Bill Casey. They had this meeting and basically did the same thing Nixon did, kind of turned everything around. And they made a different deal, and they said Carter wanted the hostages obviously to be released before Election Day. This deal that the Republicans made told Iran that, okay, we made this deal with you, but, and part of it was because of the invasion of Iran from Iraq. So it was easier to make a deal with them to give them, to sell them military equipment. But the Republicans said, hold on to the hostages until after the election. And that was in a meeting with not only Bill Casey, the chairman of the campaign, but also the running mate, who was a former CIA director, George H.W. Bush. They were in that meeting, and of course, the famous, the hostages were released within a minute after Reagan was inaugurated, and they kept doing that though. They kept sending arms to Iran, and they couldn't use the money for anything publicly, so they did it to covertly fund the contraband that was going on down in Middle America. Of course, this is part of the thing that started to mess up Middle America, places like Guatemala, and made everything so unstable there that is now causing our border issue. Started back in the early Reagan days, but there was a crash from a plane that was flying some equipment over to Iran, and that's how it was discovered that the Reagan administration was still sending military stuff over to Iran. And that's then when finally the Iran-Contra hearings began. 138 of administration officials under Reagan were either indicted, subject of official investigation, or official misconduct and or criminal violations. And this is, you know, everyone thinks Reagan is such a hero, and the Republicans say, oh, we're the party of Reagan. Well, that's Reagan should have went to prison too. So then we move forward. George W. Bush, you know, lied to the American people, lied us into a war. There's some horrible stuff he did against McCain in order to get elected in 2000. And of course, he lost that election, not only the popular vote, but it was after the Florida recount was finished, it was found out that he also won Florida, which means that he also won the electoral vote, but the Supreme Court, through other shenanigans that the Republican Party was pulling, had already ruled that they weren't going to abide by the Florida recount. But the Florida recount showed that Al Gore won. And so George W. Bush became president in 2000 by losing both the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. More shenanigans in 2004. Anyway, so we get to Barack Obama, and then that just musters up so much anger that it basically the Tea Party is born. And there was a let's see if I can find it here. There in 2012, there was an essay written. I'll tell you more about that when we come back, because we're again overdue for a break because everything's just so interesting. I can't stop talking about it. So why don't we talk more when we come back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson in for Matt McNeil today. Hope you're enjoying the show. The subject we were talking about, you know, I was talking about the criminality going on with the Reagan administration, but another thing Reagan did was turn people into not trusting the government, basically villainizing the government and elected officials. And that only grew more fervent in the 1990s. When Newt Gingrich took over and just basically turned, that's when the really true partisanship really began, where we started to not be able to agree on anything at all. And then we go through, you know, Obama's presidency, and then after that, the Tea Party starts up while he's still president. And if you remember in 2012, there was something called the Republican Autopsy. It was an essay written in the, I believe, the New Washington Post. And they basically, their conclusion was ideologically extreme, scornful of compromise, unmoved by conventional understanding of facts, evidence, and science, dismissive of the legitimacy of its political opposition. That's what they were saying had happened to the Republican Party, and they called it the autopsy in 2012. They were supposed to learn from that. Like Bill Kristol, you know, I don't know if you know him. He's always been a Republican pundit on TV for decades. He said people like me were thinking, yeah, there are some kooky people around, but come on, you know. So they were dismissive of this report. Well, now Bill Kristol, I think he's disavowed his Republican membership and basically speaks against Trumpism and things like that. So it's only gotten tons worse since 2012. And one of the things that I've always talked about, and it's both local and national, is starting with the Tea Party, the Republicans started to elect kind of crazy people who were dumb, who did not know anything about being in government. They don't know anything about American history. And they just got more and more of them, so that the Republican Party, you know, people like Paul Ryan, he's gone. John Boehner, he's gone. I don't agree with any of those guys, but at least they weren't absolutely nuts. They stepped out. They're gone. And the only thing you got left is people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she's basically the face of the party. And again, I'll repeat, a sad symptom of moral and intellectual decline. You can synopsize the whole Republican existence, actually starting decades ago, but certainly starting with the Tea Party until now. And I will give you a great example of the stupidity. Over in my district, 33, do you think I think it's I'm pretty sure it's not okay for fire and police to have official vehicles and presence and be advertised as the draw at an SD33 GOP fundraiser. It would be an implied endorsement, and using public assets would be an in-kind contribution and not a legal one. So the title of this short story is GOP 33 Asshats Illegally Using Public Assets. They sent out a flyer in an email. The Minnesota Senate District 33 Republicans support your first responders on Flag Day, June 14th, 2021. Never before has there been such an onslaught against our first responders. We don't want to defund them. We want to increase respect and honor them. Show your support. You're invited to this fundraiser on the 14th. Stand with those who stand for us every day. Meet your dedicated first responders from a few towns from out there. Bring the kids and take a tour of a fire truck or other first responder, responder vehicles. The admission is $50 for adults. And of course, we all know kids eight or under are very excited to pay $15 to go talk to a bunch of old white Republican asshats. the funds will be used to elect legislators who support our first responders. Of course, that's insinuating that the Republicans don't support our first responders and that only the Republicans do. Of course, they don't want any news about what happened to the first responders on January 6th. We don't want anyone to find out about that. But no, they stand with the cops, and the DFL does not. So they sent this out, but another issue is they didn't tell the fire chiefs and the police chiefs. They didn't tell them about it before they sent this out. I happen to know somebody who knows somebody who is on the board of Mound, the city council, and she made the mayor aware. He didn't know about it, and he's a Republican. So he talked to the Mound fire chief, and that fire chief said, "No, I'm not participating in that." I believe the Excelsior fire chief said, this is the first I'm hearing of it. But that was days after this pamphlet was sent out. So the Republican committee in District 33 sent this out. They have the logos of the fire department and the police and emergency medical services, the logos they include in it, of course, very pixelated. They sent it out without even informing the people that are the main draw. You know, they're saying, hey, come and you know, take your kids and climb around a fire truck. It sounds like there are not going to be any fire trucks there because all the fire chiefs and police chiefs are saying, well, no, we're not doing that because they know it's illegal and they know it makes them look horrible. You know, the Excelsior fire chief is very friendly to Representative Kelly Morrison, who's down there. She's a DFL. And I know these guys are not going along with. I know some of them too from when I ran, and they're not going to go along with this. But the Republican Party, it's a grift. They'll get there. They'll gather all the $50 and the $15 because a lot of 8-year-olds want to go, and then they'll just say, "Oh, we couldn't get the fire trucks here. I'm sorry, but anyway, thanks for your money. Here's your free crappy food." So that's how dumb it's gotten. And, since that's out where I live and I, you know, ran for the state house out there and such a dull headache it is to try and do that in such a red district. But at least we got Kelly Morrison elected, and she got elected, reelected as well. So feeling good about starting to turn that district blue. She's, of course, the DFL representative for district House District 33B. I live in 33A, which is impossible to win if you're me and anyone else who's ever ran for it. I think we're coming close to the end here. I just want to thank everyone who is listening for listening. Matt in South Minneapolis, I know he was listening. Thanks, Matt. It was fun talking to you. The weather is going to get better. this weekend. If you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. We're going to somebody's house because we're vaccinated and they're vaccinated, and we're going to be able to be together with them and have dinner. If you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. If you are vaccinated, wear a mask. You know, be polite. So this is Todd Mickelson signing off on the Matt McNeil Show. Brett Johnson was on the board. You have been listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.